Up to, we're in the middle of Perek Zayin, Pasuk Beis. Let's review the Pasuk. Mayaful fe'amayich bana olim. How beautiful are your footsteps in shoes. It's beautiful when your feet are covered in shoes. Bas Nodiv, daughter of nobility. You have to read the words backwards. Bas Nodiv, mayaful fe'amayich bana olim. Chamukei yirechayich. So we learned yesterday from the Mitzvahs, the roundness of your legs is perfect. Person has a leg, the circumference of the leg is perfectly round, it's symmetrical, it's round, it's kimo chaloim, it's equivalent to an ornament. And ornaments, craftsmen must say, yidei oman, the work of a craftsman. Craftsmen pride themselves in producing objects, jewelry, which is perfect in size and measure and symmetry. And likewise, the legs, the footsteps are beautiful, and the legs are beautiful. Our strides are beautiful, and the legs are beautiful. It's interesting though, this today technology. That every person, just like we know that years ago, to identify human beings, there was the fingerprint, right? So, I mean, and that's the way every person, used to be law and enforcement, have a good day. Used to be to identify a person is through everyone has a unique fingerprint, and then as time passed, they came up with new techniques of the iris of the eye. There's a unique pattern in the eye that became very popular. And then there are also techniques in, you know, DNA, of course, that's expensive. That was very expensive. It still is to do a DNA test on persons, anything which comes from the body, any biological matter from the body has a unique stamp that can be connected to a person. And then they discovered that people are unique in the way they, then also facial recognition. There's computer algorithms which you can break down a person's sura saponim into a mathematical number, the distance between the joints, the bones, the cheekbones, the cheekbones and the chin, the eyes. There are different parts of the face which can be broken down mathematically by a computer and given a number, and you can identify a person based upon that. And then they discover that people are unique in the way they walk. In the way every person has a unique stride, a human being is not sensitive enough to pick up a difference between two people walking. And we can sometimes, if you see someone from the back, and you see them walk from the back, you can identify. Oh, I know who that person is. That person has a unique stride. But when you're dealing with hundreds of people, obviously it's not possible, not humanly possible to identify a person, put a person in a sheet, and completely cover them up, and or just watch how they walk to identify who they are. That's not humanly possible. But a computer. It is possible.
You do it. You see someone walking down the block and you run away. You know who's coming.
You know, so the computer today, and they actually have technology. I think they did this by the Super Bowl. By the Super Bowl, they were able to identify people because people, criminals or people who are wanted, they're able just to, you know, cover their face. They cover their face, put on glasses, cover their face, put on a cap, put on a wig. You cannot identify them by their tzura saponim, but they have to walk. And you can't disguise in your stride. So this is a new technology that I've read about that it seems they even experimented with at the Super Bowl of having cameras in position and watch. People walk into the arena, and you can identify who they are based upon their unique stride. And I, when this came out, this thing, so I wanted to make a suggestion. That's the significance in the four avodos of a carbon: the shechita, kabbalah, haylacha, zrika. Four different parts. You makabel, you do shechita. That we understand. You can't offer sacrifice unless you slaughter the animal. You makabel the dam. You receive the blood in the basin, and then you convey, you bring the blood from the location of Shechita to the Mizbeach. That is, and then there is Zrika, you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. Now the three of the four you need. You need to do a Shechita, you need to do a Kabbalah, you need to do a Zrika. These are three things which are essential. But what is the significance in Halacha? That you have to walk with the animal from the blood, the basin of blood, from the place of Shechita to the place where you do the Zrika. Why can't you just do the Shechita right opposite the Mizbeach, and it would not be necessary for you to walk with the blood from the place of Shechita to the place of Zrika. So if I'm not mistaken, I think it could be the Gemara who talks about this. There are Rishonim that talk about this. If you taka do a Shechita right near the Mizbeach, can you skip the step of Chaylacha? But let's put that aside, because if you're not going to do it near the Mizbeach and you are going to walk, there's no question that the Chaylacha, the walking, the few steps that you take from the place of Kabbalah to the place of Zrika, definitely in Halacha is extremely significant. And if while you're walking or you have a machshava, a thought, that this carbon should be for a person who does not own the carbon, or should be for the kavana, pigle, that you can eat the meat after the zman, it's pigle. It's pigle, or the carbon is pasul. It's not a kosher carbon. It's not 100%. It's not going to get credit. The owner is not going to get credit. So what do you see? You see halacha significant. Why is halacha significant? So what's very interesting is that we know today that every single person has a unique halacha. No two people have the same halacha. There's something unique about the halacha. And if you want to take that idea and air that into this pasuk, that's really what it says: "Mayafu pa'mayich ba'na'olim." How beautiful are your footsteps? It's not just a matter of walking. Every person has a different mahalach, a different step, a different stride. It's symbolic of every person has a unique approach to life, a unique way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a unique stride. Okay, then the steps are beautiful, and then the legs. We mentioned the legs are perfectly beautiful. The circumference of the leg is perfect. The work of a craftsman. Okay, so this is what we learned yesterday in the Mitzudos. And then the Mitzudos says, what was the Nimshal? The Nimshal was Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel, you come and you're taking footsteps to come to Yerushalayim wearing shoes, and then when you come, then you walk around the Azara, and this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Avodah is beautiful, and that's why we relate this to the Bas Nodiv, the first, the most generous person in Klal Yisrael was Avraham Avinu. Now we discuss simply why he's generous, because he offered his firstborn son, Yitzchak, he offered him Adam the Akedah. That's a degree of generosity. But here, when we're taking this idea, we're injecting it into the theme of Aliyah L'Regel, it's simple as can possibly be. He was the first one that was Mekayim the Mitzvah of Aliyah. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladecha u'mibeisavicha el ha'oretz asher areka. He was the first one that walked, lech lecha, that was mekayim to some degree the mitzvah of aliyah l'makayim. And that's why we associate Bas Nodiv with Mayav Pamayich in the context of taking steps. So let's see. What? To make a chazaka, to make a kinyan on Eretz Yisrael, in a chanami. Okay, I actually saw a question right now. You know, it's reminding me right now, and maybe perhaps it's an answer to the question to this question. I was reading before I came here a sefer on this pasuk, and Yerechayich, the Medrash says Chambuke Yerechayich. Yerechayich in Chazal is a medrash that says, in reward for Aliyah L'Regel, you will have beautiful children. Chamuke means the hiddenness of your legs. A yerech is a code word for the erva, for the hidden part. The chamuke means the hidden part of your legs. The hidden tachas yirechi, that was a reference to the bris mila, and by nisha certainly it's the hidden part of the legs, the part that is covered. The nafla yirechai, the leg will fall out, the because that's where the sin was. The maisa there is in that makam. So mida k'neged mida, that's where the punishment will begin. Her womb will collapse, the stomach will collapse, and a chanani. So there's a medrash here that makes a connection, which is a bit of a mystery. In reward for mayafu fe'amayich ban olim, in reward for traveling, in reward for being mekayim the mitzvah aliyah l'regel, you will receive chamuke yirechayich kmo chaloim. The hiddenness of your legs will be beautiful gems, beautiful ornaments, maasei yidei aman, the work of a craftsman. Meaning, I will reward you with beautiful children. Your children will be gems. Will be the apple of your eye. Will be a precious ornament. that's the chamuka yirechach, the hidden thing that comes out of your leg, a child, will be like a ornament, not just any ornament, an ornament that is unique, ma'aseh yidei adam. So I saw in a very choshev sefer, a sefer was written by someone who was very close to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and a lot of the sefer, he asked many questions of Rav Chaim Kanievsky about the Targum. I didn't really have a chance, I got a long time ago, I didn't have a chance that much to spend much time on it. Today I had the opportunity, I'm just looking over what it says here on this pasuk, and he just mentioned this medrash, and he says that tzorich in gadol, my inyan, what's the connection between the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel and having good children? I mean, what's the midah k'neged midah? Just because I exert myself to go and travel to Yerushalayim 3 times a year, I'm going to merit to have beautiful children? I mean, what's the connection? So I don't know the answer. He leaves it as a tzarech in, he doesn't have an answer. But when you do take note that it says here Bas Nadiv, and Bas Nadiv alludes to Avraham, Avraham had no children, and Hashem said part of the deal in order for you to have children, this was the Rashi in the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha, is Kan, here, your Avram. The father, the master of Aram, the city, the district, the region of Aram. But when you'll go to Eretz Canaan, there I will change your name, there I'm going to make you great, there I'm going to make you great, and there you're going to be the Av Hamoin Goyim, Avraham. Av Hamon Goyim. There you will merit to have children. That's what it says, and that's Chazal.
She also says that you're going to have the three things that Hashem promised. You're going to there, you don't have children. Right? Wasn't one of the things it says? Three things are missing.
So that's what Hashem said. Don't worry. Even though generally when you travel, it's Memait and Priyurviyah, but by you, Avraham, it's going to be just the opposite. Here in Aram, you did not merit to have children, but when you go to Eretz Canaan, in the Mokim, where this is where I'm sending you, there you will merit to have children, and from you it will come Av Hamoin Goyim. So you see, there obviously you see a connection. I mean, you know, it doesn't answer the question, my inyan zeh, but you see that very clearly Avraham was the first one to be mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah. Not Aliyah l'regel, it wasn't the Sholosh Regolim yet, but he was mekayim Hashem's directive to travel to Eretz Yisrael. And as a direct consequence of that, he merited to have children. He merited to have Yitzchak. So it's not so shocking that the Medrash says reads this entire thing into the pasuk. Bas Nadiv means we follow in the way of Avraham. We follow Hashem's directive to make an aliyah, to go up in spirituality, and in reward for my yofu pamaych bas manu olim, similar to Avraham, who was blessed to have children, the hidden part of the leg, what comes out from the hidden part of the leg, will be kumo chaloim, will be precious jewels, not just any jewel, but a jewel that's made ma'aseh yidei oman. Again, it doesn't explain my inyan zeh. Well, we go back to Avraham. Why did Hashem need Avraham to go to Eretz Yisrael in order to have children? Hashem can allow Avraham to have children in chutz li'aretz, and then he'll go to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't answer the question, but at least you do see a parallel. You do see a relationship between what happened by Avraham. He was instructed to go to Eretz Yisrael in order to have children, and he succeeded. So to hear this pasuk, there are two parts of the pasuk. Aliyah l'regel. The end of the pasuk talks about the concept of having beautiful children, and in the middle we have a mention of Avraham Avinu. Yeah.
Children that follow in your footsteps.
Children, you want to say that children will follow in your footsteps. That if you exert yourself to follow in Hashem's footsteps, then your children will follow in your footsteps. Yeah, but Hashem demanded that he's not going to have children until he leaves Canaan. He leaves Aram Naharayim, Aram, and he goes to Eretz Canaan. There he will have children. Okay, yeah.
So that Hashem literally said that to Aram?
Yeah.
So why did Avraham then question later, I don't have children, what good is all this for me if I don't have children?
Well, that's you could ask the same question with the Akedah. Hashem said you're gonna have a Yitzchak, and now ki be Yitzchak yikar l'chazara, and now you're telling me v'haleu l'oila, offer him as a sacrifice.
I'm talking about the first one.
The same answer you'll give for the Akedah, you'll have to give for that answer. I don't know the answer. I don't know. There are contradictions in life. There are many challenges. Hashem puts in front of us many, many challenges. Okay, so let's see Rashi. Rashi elaborates. Mayofu, back to getting a pasuk base. Mayofu pamayich banolim. Heim oimim lo chafetzim onu shetidbuku banu b'shviel. Now again, this is. According to Rashi, who is the speaker? The Umoy So'olam. Okay, the Umoy So'olam are speaking to Klal Yisrael and are making a demand, a request, that why don't you abandon your faith in Hashem and join us, join our ranks. Heim Oimrim Lo. They, the Umoy So'olam, say to her, to Klal Yisrael, Chafetzim Onu, we desire, Shetidbiku Banu, that you join us, you cleave to us, B'shvil Noi, V'chashivos Shari'inu B'cha B'oidcha B'yafcha, while you are in your beauty, while you are beautiful. Now that's I think where Rashi really leaves it. Rashi really leaves, that's the Pashup Shah and the Pasik. This is all part of a description of the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Okay, but then Rashi now, it appears, I'm not really certain, but Rashi appears now to shift gears, and Rashi is now following in the way of the Mitzudos David, drawing from Midrashim, describing the beauty. Hashem is the speaker, and Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, the beautiful, is reviewing and recounting the good things of Klal Yisrael. Here we go. Mayofa pa mayecha, beautiful your footsteps. The Alias Haragolim, in the midst of Aliyah L'Regel, Bas Nedivim, daughter of nobility. Chamuke Yirechayich, the Chamuke. Now, we translated the Chamuke in the Mitzudos David to mean the circumference. The circumference of your legs are beautiful, but here Rashi, it seems to say chamuke means the hiddenness. Chamuke means hidden. By the way, chamuke, just to allude to the fact that it means hidden, the darshanim say it means it's Rashi Tevos chisure mechzera v'hoche kitani. Now the yud, I don't know why there's a yud. The yud, v'hochi chisure mechzera v'hochi kitani, I guess it's the end of the word kitane. We know that in the Gemara, many times in the Mishnayis do not make sense. The words don't flow well. So the Gemara says, you're right, there are missing words. There are words missing in the Mishnah, which have to be added to make sense of the Mishnah. Chisure mechsura. There are missing words. There's the Hachi Ketani, and if you want to properly understand the meaning of this Mishnah, you have to add the following words into the text. And there are many interpretations as why that is so. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, according to some, did it by design. It was done by design in order to awaken us to a concept that would have been overlooked if we would just read the Mishnah superficially. So he deliberately deleted words from the Mishnah in order to emphasize, to draw our attention, that there's something very significant here, and that will only be brought out through analyzing and adding in the extra words. Others tell us that in ancient times it was the custom to recite Mishnayis Baal Peh, to sing. There was a melody. There was a melody to the Mishnayis, a trop, a nigun, and that assisted in the ability to memorize Mishnayis, because in ancient times we were not allowed to put the Mishnah in writing. Torah Shebal Peh may Iker Hadin be put in writing. Dvarim Shebal Peh Iyat Torah Shai LeKosvan. So how would they memorize the Mishnayis? They added a melody to the Mishnah, a nigun. Problem is, sometimes in the lyrics have to rhyme in order for it to flow. So they sacrificed content for melody. That in order that the melody should sound better and the lyrics and the musical notes should fit into the Mishnah, they took out some words, and it was self understood that when you'll understand the Mishnah in its deeper meaning, you will add in those missing words. But the point I want to make over here is that I saw this in a number of Sarm, is that Chamuke, again, according to the Mitzudos, it means the circumference. But according to Rashi, it means the hiddenness. And this word has become such a popular word to mean hidden, that's why it has been as a code word for Chisure Mechzera v'hochei kitani. There indeed are missing words in it. There is something hidden in this expression. Now, what does Rashi say? Chamukim yirichayich. They are kmo chaloim kivutzas odei zov, a collection of jewelry, ornaments of jewelry. Kui is called cholei. It's called cholei kesem. It's called cholei kesem. Okay, it's called cholei kesem. It's called kesem means is gold, and cholei also. I don't know. These two words go together. It seems it means it's an ornament of gold. And he brings el cholei b'loshen aravi, and it's called el cholei in Arabic.
Same word.
Right? So you see over here, chaloim is the shorish of ches. Lamed. Those are the two critical words. Ches, lamed, yud.
Yes, yes.
Period.
The first two, the L, that's just the article, prefix.
L, the prefix. El choli. El choli. Okay, it's the prefix. So choli means it's an ornament. Chole kesem or el choli, beloshen aravi. So this is, so that we have over here, Rashi is telling us it means that you are, the hiddenness of your legs is beautiful. Period. Now Rashi really does not translate the word chamukei. We translated it to mean the hiddenness of your legs, and we drew from the Medrash, it refers to your children. Children are creatures that come out between, that are created from what is in the hidden part of both the man and the woman's legs. But I was saying to Darshu, Rashi draws from another medrash. There, al nikve hashisin. This refers to chaloim is a cavity. Okay, and the cavity
probably from chalal
in the Asher Yotzar. The chokhma uvarovo nikovim chalulim. A person has many cavities, openings and cavities.
Empty space.
So darshu al nikve hashitzin shel nisachim shenasu misheshes himei bereshis, which were made from sheshes. These are the cavities in the mizbeach which go down to the depth into the shisin, into the cavity in the earth, which were created at the time of creation. Agulim, they are round. These cavities are perfectly round. Kimo yarech, like a leg, just like a leg. The leg is perfectly round. So maybe Rashi in this interpretation is taking the word chamukei. It's similar to what the Mitzudos David said. Chamukei means the circumference. The circumference of your legs are perfectly round, just like the cavities in the earth. Kimo chaloim, the cavities in the earth underneath the mizbeach. Loshon agulim kimo yorech kimo chaloim, like chaloim. Like the chaloim, these cavities. Lashon chafira kmo chulia sabar. Okay, so it's a cavity. So the cavity is a cavity in the ground. The chulia sabar is used in the Gemara Bava Kamma, the cavity of the pit. When you take out the earth from the ground, you create a cavity in the ground. So masse yidei amon, who is the one that created the shisin, this cavity in the earth? None other than the Ribbono shel Olam, yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Period. Now, b'mesechta sukkah, Amon kmo uman. The word Amon, this is found in the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, and there it explains Amon is the circumcision word in uman. Uman is a craftsman. Just missing a vav. Amon kmo uman, shel HaKadosh uman, uman. Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the craftsmanship.
Kibusa.
No, that's next. You have another word here? I don't have another word. Give me one moment. Kmo chalim loshon chafir, kmo chaluchel tabor, masidam yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, misach tasoda, oman kmo uman. Kilusoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, okay, next. Kilusoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This pasuk, according to Rashi, is the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards Yisrael. Yisrael mekalsin oso milamal. Now, this is giving a general... Is that mine? So we spoke about this yesterday, that when it comes to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Klal Yisrael, when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we start from head down. When Hashem praises, Klal Yisrael, Hashem starts from the legs up. We first start with our footsteps, we then go to the legs, and then the next pasuk is going to go to the navel, and then we're going to go to the stomach, Then after the stomach comes the shadayich, the bosom, and then it comes the neck, then it comes the eyes, and then it comes, it mentions the hear, and we'll see the apeich. We're going, that's where we're going to get a little bit rough. We get to pasuk hey, we're going to get into trouble, because we're going to have apeich, kemigdal halavanon, which comes after the eyes. Or the tzavarech. We'll get to that later on, but we have to keep in mind what he says over here: Kilusa shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, with regard to the praise of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael mekhals nosom lelamal lamata. This pasuk is the praise of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael mekhals nosom lelamal lamata. When we praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, we go from up, going down. Maschilin meirosho, going back, way back a few program barak. Roishoy. Kesem pos, and then the Yardin, we went down to describe Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. We described the Kadosh Baruch Hu's lips. We described his neck. We described the chest. Okay, we went from up going down. The boy at Sheikov until the thighs, Amudei Sheish, Hashem's legs were like pillars of marble. Lefi Shehein Bohim Liritzaisoi. Because when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the goal is to find favor in his eyes, so he should bring down the Shekhinah milamala milamatan, to bring the Shekhinah to a place in this world. Lohoyrid Shekhinasem in Halyonim letachtoinim. V'hu moine kilusam shmilamata lamala. And when Hashem praises Klal Yisrael, it's from bottom up. We start with the legs and work our way up. Milamata milamala mayav. These are the legs. Until we get to the heads, olecha kakarmel, all the way to the end of this parak, we come to that your head is like kakarmel, is like the beautiful region called Carmel. Why? Because Baruch Hu is trying to bring us up. So when Hashem praises, Hashem goes lamata milamala, symbolic of Hashem bring us up. And when we praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we go from lamala lamata, because we want to bring the Shekhinah down. As we mentioned yesterday, that is why in the piyutim sometimes it is arranged according to the letters of the Aleph Beis, starting with Tav going down, Tav Shin Reish Kuf Tashrak, like Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa Karbino Seha. And sometimes in the piyutim, the piyutim are arranged Aleph Beis going up, like Ashrei, Arumim Chalokai HaMelech B'chol Yom HaVarechaka. When we're trying to raise ourselves up, it's Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. When we're asking Hashem to send the Shekhinah down, then we go Tashrak Tof Shin Reish Kof. Okay. Now, let's see Targum. Targum over here is fascinating. Fascinating Targum. Targum Mayofu Pamayach Ban Olim. Let's see Pasuk Beis in the Targum. Omar Shlomo Beruach Nivua Min Kodom Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech says the following statement, the Ruach HaKodesh, in the name of Min Kodom Hashem. So the speaker is Shlomo, but he's not speaking for himself, he's speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kama Shapiron Raglehon Dishon, how beautiful are the footsteps of the Jewish people, Kat Solkon Li'itach Zo'o, when they go up to appear Kadam Hashem, before Hashem, Shtolos Zimnin Bishata, three times a year, Bisandalin Disus Gona. Whew. Shoes made from Sus Gona. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk, it just says we have beautiful shoes. Okay, what are the most expensive shoes today? I don't know, but they go, you can probably buy a pair of shoes for at least $500, right? You can buy expensive pairs. What? Men also, 100%. Men are even more expensive, you'd be surprised. Even more expensive shoes. Okay? I remember the first time I learned about that, this goes back 100 years ago. I had a friend, you know, right after he left yeshiva, he went to work at a good job. And I never knew shoes can cost so much money. This is a long time ago. And he showed me his shoes. I said, well, I have a nice pair of shoes. Yeah, it costs $300. I was like, what? Are you crazy? You spent $300. This is 25 years ago. What? Today, probably you get $1,000. Same shoes, $1,000. But here it says, Suskoina was a type of leather. Now, this is a big topic of discussion. It seemingly refers to the tachash, the Tachash was a creature which Rashi says only existed lefi shah. It was used to cover Tachash. V'analcho Tachash. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel says that your shoes were made from Tachash. Where did the Jewish people get Tachash from? Tachash was the covering, the third covering for the Mishkan. On top on the Mishkan, on top of the Krashen was first the material made from the wool, the different minim wool, tcheles argamon, tolashani, sheishvi argamon, the oirois, and then on top of that was the oil, which was made from goat skins, 11 sections, and on top of that was the Oirois, Elim, Odomim, and Tachash. Oirois Tachashim was a combination. So maybe you look in the picture books, there's a big, the machloek is exactly what does that mean. Maybe some hold there even four layers. There's Oirois, Elim, Odomim, and on top of that was Or Tachash. Some say no, it was all mixed together. In the art school book, they have two different illustrations of exactly how we combine together the Oirois.
Over there, Rashi says, the Targum says it's Sasgoina.
So what is it called, Sasgoina? What is Or Tachash? So Rashi says it's called Sasgoina. That's what the word over here is. Sasgoina would spell here in the Targum with a Samach. Yeah. But we are very well aware that a Samach can be interchanged with a Sin. And a double sin means sos means to rejoice. Sos onochi al imra secho kimotse shalal rav. And gavona is from the word gavon. Gavon means a color. It's a creature which rejoices in its multicolored hide. This creature only existed during the time of the Midbar. It appeared and became extinct. And during this period of time, Klal Yisrael captured them for the purpose of building the Mishkan, covering the Mishkan with this Or Tachash, and they were leftover hides. And the leftover hides were distributed to Klal Yisrael, and from this leather they made shoes. They made special shoes. It seems that these shoes were passed down to their descendants, even down to the time of the Bayis Rishon, 440 years later. And when they made Aliyah L'Regel, they went to the closet, they took out this rare type of shoe that was multicolored, and they made Aliyah, they walked up to the Beis HaMikdash wearing these shoes. And the Targum says this over here, does not say this over here in the Pasuk, but it says over here, B'Sandolim this Soskoina, first the whole Targum, then we'll discuss this in more detail, U'mikarvin yos nidrei hon, and they offered their vows, all of their obligations, V'yos nid vason, nidorim and nidavos, and then there you have a responsibility. If it gets lost in the W, you do not. Uveneho nofkun. Now here is what we mentioned before, that the chamuke yirechayach means the hidden thing that comes out from your legs, which refer to your children. Uvenehoin, your children, which nofke, which come from yirkehon, yoayon, are beautiful. This was the medrash we mentioned before that the Targum is drawing from. Ki yuchrin, they are beautiful like gems. Yuchrin are pininim, which are pearls, precious gems. Dik v'on. Now here is another thing which we discussed in the past, which were inserted, which were set al kelila dikudsha on the tzitz. Okay, we have no record of this anywhere that on the tzitz, other than it, than the word it was embossed kodesh laHashem. This Targum says in addition. No, that's what Kalil is, the crown. Kalil is the, this is the topic of the discussion. Maybe you're right. Maybe it refers to the Choshen. The Choshen, but the Choshen, the correct word is not the word Kalila for the Choshen or the Avnei Shoyam. And as a topic of discussion, is really, we know the Pasuk says that on the tzitz, all you put was written Kodesh LaHashem. They were gems. Well, there's another medrash that says not only were there gems on the tzitz, on the gems were written the names of the Shvatim. So just like there were stones on the Choshen and there was the Avnei Shoyem on the Ephod, there were 12 stones set into the tzitz. And the Targum says it right over here. It was beautiful, like the stones, the kavin that were set, al kalilo de kudsho, on the holy crown, the avad, who is the oman, the maaseh yidei oman, it refers to Bitzalel. Bitzalel was the master craftsman who made the tzitz. The avad Bitzalel umono, la aharon kohano fa aron the kohen, when he wore this crown. So your children are beautiful, like the stones that are kodesh la Hashem. The beauty is in their the kedusha that is associated with the tzitz. Okay, now let's take a step back. First of all, this idea of it's a very interesting idea. We learn from this that whenever you do a mitzvah, you should do a mitzvah. You should beautify the mitzvah in the utmost way. Chanukah. The mitzvah of Chanukah is to light ner Chanukah, to light candles. You can mekayim the mitzvah with tea lights. Right, you go to the store, you buy tea lights, and that's it. You put it down and you light it, wax. You can kind of mitzvah. You come out with and you don't even have to have a candelabra, something to hold. But what is the minhag Yisrael? Even though the mitzvah is just to light a ner, just to light a candle, so all you need to do is just need some tea light. If you're going to light it, you have to beautify the mitzvah. So make, as a holder for your neros, an expensive silver menorah, a chanukiah, a new word in this generation, the chanukiah should be made to hold it. Now let's give Zekeh, but what is Zekeh? Every time you do a mitzvah, so in enhanced. Well, the Rashi gives different examples of Zekeh Levi Anveyu. But look at the example that we gave. The mitzvah is to light the neros. So since light the neros, so the base, the support for the neros should be something beautiful. What is the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel? That mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel is to walk. Is to ascend, to make your ascent. So since the mitzvah is being fulfilled with your feet, so it became a sensation that when you do the mitzvah, you put on designer shoes. You just don't put on, I'm being behind the mitzvah. So you put on your sneakers, comfortable shoes. You know, people go and they travel, they're going to Eretz Yisrael. First thing is, I got to wear comfortable shoes. I'm going to be stuck traveling for 20 hours. I got to be comfortable. I'm going to wear sneakers. I'm going to wear Crocs. I'm going to wear who knows what. I'm not going to go put on a tight pair of shoes. No. When you mekayim aliyah l'regel, since the mitzvah is to walk, so the feet have to be beautified. And the most expensive shoes, priceless shoes to use, or tachash, that's what was used to beautify the feet as they ascend. And it's also a topic of discussion is that there was a hakpada that they traveled in ancient times. They had wagons and they had camels and donkeys, all different forms of transportation. Today we know we have planes and jeeps and SUVs. But there was a hakpada that people would not use a wagon or an animal for the entire journey. At some point in the journey, they got off the wagon, they got off the camel, they got off the donkey, and they walked for a significant distance in order to be mekayin the mitzvah aliyah l'regel mamish with their feet. To be mahad the mekayimid behider. I remember there was a joker in the shul on Simchas Torah. He always used to do this on Simchas Torah. He was a little drunk and he would say v'yiske. What's the nuscha of the Mishra Berach? V'yiske lalois beregel. V'yiske lalois beregel. He used to joke with your feet. V'yiske lalois beregel beraglecha. With your baraglov, you should be zeichet to go over the regal baraglov with your feet. He used to make a joke out of it, but it's not a joke. It's a very serious thing in Chazal, in the Chanamdi, when there was a hakpod, that you should stop at a certain point, you should actually walk the remaining distance in order to mekayim. There's a loch in Shulchanach, the fair Shulchanach, you have two shuls in your neighborhood. Say we have hundreds of shuls, but if you have two shuls in the neighborhood, where are you supposed to daven? The one that's further away. To receive the schar pesios. You should receive the reward for your footsteps.
The shul would be the one that you don't go to.
You don't go to, exactly. Receive the schar pesios. Not only should you walk, the feet that are going to walk should be beautified in Or Tachash. That is what it says here in this Targum. That was the ancient custom. Okay, now there are a few problems over here with this pasuk. First problem over with this Targum is, why do we need this introduction with Omar Shlomo Beruach Nevuah? The pasuk begins, it's telling us exactly how they're going to travel with this Saskoina. I don't need Ruach HaKodesh. Shlomo HaMelech lived at the time of the Bayis Rishon. This was the time when he built it. This was the time when people made Aliyah L'Regel. All he had to do was wake up in the morning, look outside his window, and he would see people being Oyle L'Regel. You would see people walking. I remember once I was in Mir Yeshiva for Rosh Chodesh Elul. I was in Eretz Yisrael in the end of the summer, and it was Rosh Chodesh Elul, and I went to Mir Yeshiva for Shachris. Rosh Chodesh, you go to Yeshiva, daven, what a long davening. It took 2 hours, Shachris, Rosh Chodesh Elul. And after davening was over, I went back to the hotel, wherever I was staying, and you know, Mir Yeshiva, it's a little on a hill. It's higher up. And as I was leaving, it was an amazing sight to see. It was the first day of the Zman. You saw literally hundreds of Yungalite, B'nai Torah, Mamish, ascending the streets and the hill to come to the yeshiva for the first day. Shlomo HaMelech, all he had to do was wake up in the morning, go outside, look out of his window, and he can see hundreds, thousands of people coming up to Eretz Yisrael to make Aliyah L'Regel. Why do we need over here this to be written with Nevuach HaKodesh? The pasuk has to be in Amar Shaburuch Nevuah. So I saw in the Sefer that says that in Echnami, since it says Ruach HaKodesh, this is not referring to his time. It's referring to the Bayish Shlishi, what's going to be La'asalava. Shlomo HaMelech was given a vision of what it's going to look like in Yiritz Hashem very soon, Mashiach is at the door, when the Bayis Shlishi is built, and the Or Tachash will be revealed once again, and this will be fulfilled once again. There will be special stores selling Or Tachash shoes. Or Tachash shoes that you're going to buy to wear, to adorn your feet as you make your ascent to Yerushalayim, to Yerushalayim. Okay, that's one mahalach. Another interesting thing I came across is someone explained the reason why he says Or Tachash, because we know that you're not allowed to walk on the Har Habayis with shoes. You now have to take, well, it's a Har Habayis, it's the Azor. You're not allowed to walk in the Azor. Har Habayis maybe yes, but not in the Azor. You're not allowed to walk shoes. So what is the need over here? Kama, the one thing we come to emphasize is your beautiful footsteps wearing Or Tachash. So someone to suggest is, and this is an interesting halacha controversy, we know, let me just take a step back, our Kohanim are not allowed to, do not wear shoes when they duchen. Nobody. They don't wear duchen. Kohanim don't wear shoes. You take off your shoes. Everyone knows that. So there are some communities where the custom was to have special slippers. The Kohanim don't wear shoes, but they wear slippers. And this is very controversial. No. Are you allowed to wear slippers?
Not leather.
Not leather. Cloth. But even cloth slippers, it's not so simple. I think it's not so simple if you're allowed to do this. There's a big machlokes apoyskim.
It's not even simple if you're allowed to wear socks.
Echanami. So it's not a simple thing, but it is a big halachic discussion, especially in certain places where people are not accustomed to walk around barefoot. It's very cold or it's dangerous. In some shuls, I think there was some tradition, the shul owned special matching slippers for all of the Kohanim. You can Google this. Different sizes. It was a property of the shul, and for Bir Duchening, when they went to go wash, you take off your shoes, and the shul has for you special slippers to be used for Duchening. So someone has said that's exactly what this pasuk here is telling you. You're not allowed to go to Har Habayis wearing leather shoes. The Or Tachash was not halachically considered leather. Even though it's Or, it's the hide of an animal, it was a very unique type of leather. It was very, very soft. So it was like a beged, like a garment, like a slipper, which is not, according to some opinions, in violation of the law of wearing shoes on the Har Habayis and in the Azara. And that is why the Targum is coming to emphasize this theme of Or Tachash being used by people when they made Aliyah L'Regel. Basically, they were putting on slippers when they come into the Azara. Alright, that's an idea. Okay, another idea is we to some degree wear Or Tachash every single day. What am I talking about? What is Or Tachash called? It's Sos Goina. spelled with a samach, but which we interpret to, with a sin. What do we wear on our heads? We wear tefillin. What on the two sides of the tefillin? Two sins. A shin, or two shins. It stands for shakai. But there are two shins. One shin of the four of the foreheads, and a shin of three heads. What are two shins, when they put together, what do they spell? Sus. What color are tefillin? And what color is the shin? The shin has to be bedafka, black, and the tefillin also, the meaning is black. What is black? Black is the color which absorbs. Black is koilel, all colors. Black absorbs all rays of light. White reflects light. So tefillin, in essence, is the sus goina. Two sins, sus. Black is davna, gona, multicolored. All the possible colors are found in the black. What is tefillin? What is tefillin is the plural of tefillah. We have a tefillah shel yad and a tefillah shel rosh. Plural, it's tefillin. What is the Beis HaMikdash? Ki beisi, beis tefillah l'chol ha'amin. Yeah?
Tefillah means prayer. Tefillin, the singular tefillin, does not mean prayer.
It means a tefillah, but you can't deny the fact that it's the same word. Obviously, it has a different meaning. It has a different title. It means phylacteries. It means whatever it means. It means an ornament. It means a bias. But
it means to differentiate.
Okay, but you can't deny that there has to be some relationship. I'm just pointing out that if they both share the same word, they have different meanings, obviously. They're totally different things, but there is some type of connection, relation between they are. Tefillin are worn when we daven. The primary zman to wear tefillin is when we pray to Hashem. We're limited. We can't wear tefillin the whole day today. We don't have a gufnaki. We're not on a level where we could appreciate the kedusha of tefillin. So we're limited in how long we wear tefillin. But when do we wear tefillin? Esrei. Kriya Shema is only because Eidu Sheker. But we wear it primarily during Shemona Esrei, when we pray, when we Osek in Tefillah. So when we wear Tefillin to some degree is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Ki Beisi, now what was the first Beis HaMikdash? The first Mikdash? The Mishkan. What was the cover of the Mishkan? What was the cover of the Mishkan? The Saskoina, the Artachash. So when we are Isaac in Tefillah, and we put on our, and we are Isaac in Tefillah, and we're involved in Kibesi, Beis Tefillah Chol HaAmim, we wear the Tefillin to some degree is Saskoina. Saskoina. Now, what's also interesting is, Tefillin has straps. Where did the straps come from? Why are there straps? We could have invented tefillin, made tefillin without straps. The tefillin could somehow be, I'm sure if you're creative enough, you can figure out a way to put the tefillin on your head without straps. They'll be designed in a different way, just like jewelry. Women put on jewelry, they don't have straps putting on a headband. You put on a headband, you put on all different types of things. You don't have to have straps. Why are there straps? Straps are, Avraham Avinu said to Melech Sedom, Imichut v'ad Sirochnal. Sirochnal, Im Ekach Mikol HaShalach. I'm not going to take from you even a mashu. Because he said the word Sirochnal, his shoe strap, that's why the tefillin that we wear are designed using straps. So the tefillin we're putting on our head really relates to shoes. The only two things that we wear have straps. Shoes have straps, and tefillin have straps. These two go on the two extremes of the body. So here there's, and now notice also, before we wrap this up, the Targum here makes a whole emphasis is that your shoes are beautiful like the tzitz. Is like what goes all the way on the top, the crown that goes on your head. Your children are beautiful like the pearls that are found on the tzitz, which adorns the head of the holiest person in Klal Yisrael. Look what's going on over here. You're starting off in the beginning of the pasuk with shoes, and the end of the pasuk takes you to the opposite extreme, the crown. It's not a coincidence that when we wear tefillin, we're really capturing all of this entire pasuk. Mayafu pamaych ba'anolam bas nodiv, because the tefillin is saskoina, The tefillin, it goes, it's the crown which goes on our head, and the tefillin really is the Israeli straps, shoe straps, which belong on the feet, and the shoes, the type of shoes that were worn when we made Aliyah L'Regel, or as the Targum refers to what's going to be when Mashiach comes, is shoes made from saskoina, tachash, saskoina, two sins, saskavon, black, which capture all the colors, yeah?
On Hanukkah, you were saying also that the shin is a remez, the Shiva Kanei Menorah.
The Shiva Kanei Menorah, there are two shins, total of seven branches. There are seven branches, that's another idea which represents, that's why you say, the Shemin HaToiv, Tariq al Shiva Kanei HaMenorah, Tuvcha Librio Secha. So why do we say that pasuk when you put on tefillin? Because there are seven. After you put on the shleirosh, you're putting on the shiva kinei hamenorah. Okay, that's another that's lichtekeit in darkness. There's other many. The tefillin are black, and in the blackness you have the branches of the menorah which provide illumination. But the thing we want to make over here is that when you're putting on tefillin, you're being mekayim this pasuk. You're putting on tefillin, you're mekayim mayofu pamayich bana olim bas nodiv. How beautiful are your footsteps, daughter of nobility. Chamuke yerechayich, your children will be kimoch chaloim, like a beautiful gem, like a beautiful thing which goes on the head of the Kohen Gadol. Kodesh la Hashem. There are many similarities between the tzitz, the nezer hakodesh, and the tefillin. We learn hesach hadas by tefillin from the tzitz. Kodesh la Hashem. Maaseh yidei amon, which is the work of a craftsman, the betzalel, the master craftsman. There is this connection, and the message is that a person, when you wear tefillin is something which brings joy. The creature, the saskoina, was a creature which was a very happy creature. It was sus, that's what it says about it. Why was it sus? Because it had multicolored skin. Color represents, what does color represent? Diversity. It represents, there are many different approaches, many different dimensions. We don't live in a world of black and white. We live in a multicolored world. There are many different ways to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see His greatness. So the simcha of life is found in diversity, interacting with other people, and seeing different ways of coming to serve the common goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal when you wear tefillin. Tefillin is to take delight in the fact that you are alive, you are sus, begavonim harbe, in the multifaceted nature, opportunities and bracha that is found in this world. It's also interesting, and we've said this before, is that tefillin evokes fear. V'rohu kol ame ha'aretz, kishem Hashem nikro lecha, v'yoru mimecha. Fear. Purim was Rabbi Me'ame Aretz Misyahadim Ki Nafal Pachad Mordechai Aleihem. And what is the end of Purim? Purim is La Yunus Oru Simcha V'Sasim Vikar. Vikar Elu HaTfilin. Why is Tfilin an essential component of the miracle of Purim? Because Tfilin is the only mitzvah where it says V'lohu Kol Amaretz Ki Shem Hashem Yoru Mimecha. They'll be afraid of you. So there's a contradiction. How could it be that Tfilin represents fear, is the Yira, and yet tefillin is sos goina. Sos, the two sins, black is koilal, all of the colors. Gavon. The answer is, we said this many times, is because the true simcha in life comes from Yira Shamayim. When a person is afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what brings a person true joy. The Reisman always says, who in the entire Tanakh is the happiest person? Who was the happiest person in Tanakh? Yitzchak. Proof is in the pudding. His name is Yitzchak. Yitzchak Tzachayik Asli Elokim. Kol Hashem Yitzchakli. I mean, the name captures his essence. But the problem is, if you look in Tanakh, Yitzchak appears to be the most serious person. He's afraid of lightning striking out of the sky. The whole Yitzchak, Yira, Avoida, Pachad Yitzchak Aviv. Just to say the word Yitzchak, you were terrified. Yitzchak was gloom and doom. It's a contradiction. How could Yitzhak be the happiest person and Yitzhak be the scariest person? It's two sides of the same coin. When your fear is a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just a fear of gloom and doom. It's a yira of a roimimus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what brings a person the ultimate simcha. Yitzhak was Yitzhak because he was had the avoida of yira. And that's what tefillin is all about. Tefillin is because it instills yira. That's why it is precisely tefillin is a symbol of sas goina, two sins, sas black, all of the colors representing the shoes vanalcha tachash. Shoes have straps. We're taking these beautiful shoes, we're putting it upon our head. And this is all of these ideas come together. When you say tefillin, you have to be reminded of this pasuk. Okay, now let's go now to the next pasuk. Let's begin a little bit. Shorerech agan hasahar. Your navel. The word shorerech is a very hard word to translate. We commonly translate as your navel, and then we're going up in the body. We've gone from the footsteps, we've gone to the legs, then we've gone to the chamukei yirechaich. That's the groin area. That's the area, the hidden part of the legs, that's higher up. Already three parts of the body have been described. And now we go up to right below the belly, we're calling the navel. The navel we're calling, at least we're considering the belly, the beten, to be the navel is below the belly, at least in this interpretation. Shorerech. Agan is a basin that is in the shape of a moon. Hasar. Let's see the Mitzudos Tzion. For a little clarification here on this difficult pasuk, shorerech hu hatibur. This is the navel of the person. Kamo the oinoi b'shuri bitno. His strength is in the navel of his belly. Agan is a basin, a mizrak. Mizrak is a basin which collects liquid. V'chein layosem ba'agonos hasahar targum shel yoreach. The translation of the moon is Hu Sihara. Esther was called Sihara, beautiful like a moon. So what does it mean over here? Let's see now the Mitzudos David. Shorerech Tiburecha. Your navel, Yihye Ogul, it will be round. Ogul Ka'agan, Ogul like a basin. He Ogul Kidmus Hayarech, that is round like the moon. Now what exactly does that mean? The moon, is the moon round? Well, it all depends on the day of the month. On the day of the month, the moon is round. We just don't see all the time, but I think it means from our perspective. And Chazal always are looking at this world from our perspective. Whoever told you the earth is round, they were born in a different century. The earth is square. We say every day, "Mi arva kanfai saretz." It's a perfect square. I don't know where they got this that the world is round. If you go to the end of the earth, you fall off. It's simple as that. But from our perspective, it says here that the moon kidmus, and I really don't know over here. There's a lot of interpretations that it does, and indeed it does not mean round. It means a crescent. A crescent, and that's what we're going to discuss when it comes to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin over here, most of the Midrashim, which Rashi draws from, is that this pasuk refers to the beauty of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, we know, did not sit in a perfect circle. They sat in a semicircle. They sat in a crescent. So then we say it's a basin that is round, but it's not perfectly round. How could you have a basin that's not perfectly round? It's not going to be able to contain anything.
But on top a basin is
like half a sphere.
Like half a sphere, right?
I don't understand. Explain to me.
A bowl,
yeah.
You take two bowls opposite each other, they form a whole.
So you're saying it's just a half. It's a half. So it's a but.
Semisphere.
So you're looking at it from where you're looking at it from. You're looking at it from the side. Okay, so you want to say two-dimensional. You're not looking at it from on top. You're looking at it from the side. From the side, it is a crescent. Okay, very good. Thank you. That's what it means. So, shorerech agan hasahar al yechzar hamozek, and it should not be diluted. It should not be lacking in dilution. It should be 100% pure. Then it goes on to say, bidnech, your belly is areva schitim, it's like a pile of wheat. Sugah, that is hedged. bashoy shanim with roses, so with flowers, the fence, the sugo, you don't have to have a fence made from stone, concrete, made from electronic surveillance and all these high-tech type of walls. The wall is nothing more than a wall of flowers. Now, what is all that? Let's go back to the Mesudas David. Al Yechsa HaMozeg, back to the Mesudas David. Al Yechsa HaMozeg, it should not be lacking dilution. Lefish Shahat Tibur, Hu Mokim Rav Halachos. The navel is always full of moisture. Hasharashi Hamezenes Aguf. Now, at least it means when I think we're alluding over here to the time of an infant and a baby in the mother's belly. This is the umbilical cord. This is where all of the nourishment goes into the body, and therefore there's always liquid flowing through this area. L'chein amar shloitechsa boy halachus. That never should there be the connection of nourishment should it be severed. Klal Yisrael is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we hope that we should continuously receive support, nourishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we say in the Ksuba. In the Ksuba it says that the man will support his wife, v'zonin u'mefarnesin nishayhoin bekushta. In truth. What do you mean in truth? A man has an obligation to support his wife. What do you mean bekushta? So the commentators explain kushta means it means continuously, and it comes from a pasuk, a targum. I don't know where the pasuk is that your water, a spring of water, should give forth water in truth. And there, the way it's interpreted is that if you have a spring, there are certain, some springs they only provide water seasonally. Sometimes during the year there is water, sometimes there's no water. But there are certain springs that are so high quality, they continuously provide water. It never happens during the year when they are lacking water. So too, it means that when a man has to provide sustenance for his wife continuously, he should not say no more than faithfully, continuously. Continue, that's another interpretation. But it means continues. A man may not say to his wife, sorry wife, I'm going away on vacation for 3 weeks, fend for yourself. I'm not giving you any money, go find for yourself, you'll find support for yourself. That you're not allowed to do. You have to provide sustenance continuously every single moment. So here as well, it says, Al Yechsa HaMozeg, it's like compared to the navel. The navel is the source, it's the channel where sustenance flows to the body. It should be continuously. It is like an agan, a basin of wine. He compares it to wine. That's not lacking diluted wine. It should not be lacking diluted wine. What does this mean? It means al shahash al hahashpa hamisaveves uba. That the benefit that Hashem sends down to this world of sustenance, shalot tufsak b'shum zman, should never be lacking. Uvo haremes bish, and the remes comes in the word shuror, in the navel, ki derech bohu hazonas havlad b'meimo, because it's through the navel where the child receives its sustenance. Okay, let's finish up. Bidnech, your belly is arei maschidim. So now we're going up. We've gone to the navel, and on top of the navel is the main part of the belly. I always thought that the belly is, the navel is in the center of the belly, but sitting over here, he's going up in the body. That's the upper part of the belly. Bidnech your belly. What?
It's the center of the body.
The center of the body, but it's also the center of the stomach, is it not? Is it not the center of the stomach? Okay, but the two go together. Bidnech your belly is arei maschidim. Bidnech your yofe umeiriach. Your belly should be beautiful, umeiriach, and it should be fragrant. Okay, is that what it means? Umeiriach, to be fragrant. Ka'agudas shiboli chitim, like a pile of stalks of wheat. Hanigderes bishashanim, which is fenced in by a fence of roses. Hamalim reyach toiv, the roses provide fragrance. You have wheat, a pile of wheat, and around the pile of wheat is a fence of roses, so you have the advantage of fragrance. V'hanimshol, what is the nimshol? Hu loymar, pi bitnech, yisrabu kegarine arema schitim, the opening of your womb should increase. I'm missing a letter here. Fine. The privinech, the fruit of your womb, it's a big difference, right? Your children. The children should you increase yisrabu kigarine aremas chitim like a pile of wheat. The kulam yu gidurim begidarim nechmadim vehagunim lbal yikashlu b'davar ha. So this is a big topic of discussion which will come to Rashi tomorrow, and all of your children should be protected. They should bring upon themselves beautiful forms of protection, a shmira. Chazal added to the mitzvahs deraisa, takonos derabanan, to serve as safeguards, not to be nichshol in a more severe avera. And these safeguards are beautiful. They're beautiful like roses. That's how the Mitzudas interprets this interpretation to his children. The end of the pasuk is, your children, what comes out of your womb, your children should be like a pile of wheat, and they shall be tzaddikim. Tzaddikim who have added brought upon themselves chumras, which are beautiful like roses. Okay, we'll continue with Mirat Hashem tomorrow.